just trying to go through some of the going through some of the basic ideas over here. Sure, I mean, it's a very complicated subject. Because you have the, you're trying to figure out the relationship between the Korban, which is the parsha of, which is Vayikra, of Lohoro Lehetiv. That's the Chi of Korban. But, and that's what's, that's referred to as the Shuas Bitoy, that pasuk over there. And that's the subject matter of the Machlokas that we were discussing the other day, between Rav Akiva and Rav Shmuel, and Rav and Shmuel. Okay. And the law that you're violating when you are chayiv in that carbon. Because if you're going to say you're chayiv a carbon asham, which is essentially like a chatas, so that must be a chait that you're violating. So where is the law? What's the law? Right? Okay. So there's a problem in the Rambam, because the Rambam says they're all shua sheker. They all come from lo sishbu b'shmila sheker. Okay, but it's a machlokas in the Gemara on Chof and Chof Aleph between Rav Dimi and Rabbi Avohu, I believe, right? Or Rabbi Avohu. And the Rambam seems to paskin like neither one of them. Yeah. And in general, the way the Gemara and the Rishonim refer to the Lavin doesn't seem to be completely clear. Like we did the Gemara on Chof Vav, so it said Lo Yachel for Rabbi Shmuel, as opposed to Sheker. And over there, I said, Lo Yachel is going on the future, and Sheker is going on the past. Here, Rabbi Yochanan is the exact opposite. Yeah, Chafan Bey says, Ki Asa Rav Dimi Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Ochel Velo Ochel, that's Sheker. So Rashi says, meaning, Ashur La Ba, he calls that Sheker. And where's the Azhara? Lo Sishbu Bishmi La Shoker. So Rashi is interesting. Lo sishbu b'shmi kidei l'shaker b'shvu aschem la'achazman. So it means to say, don't take a shvua la'shaker, meaning to make a sheker in the future. In order to convert it into a lie with your shvua. It's an interesting reading. And he says the nafkamina is for Rashi, it has to do with Hasra. Okay. But if you say, Ochalti v'lo Ochalti, he calls that Shav. Kol Shuas Shalavar, le She'eno MS, Kruya Shuas Shav. The Lashon Shav, Lashon v'lo Klum. Right, so he said, Shav means nothing. Chevle HaShav. Le Shav Hikisi is Benechem. Afkan yotzosom mipiv levatola, v'azharte imilo sisa v'mikra zeh tzarech lasros bo. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yochanan. He says sheker is on the future, shav is on everything that's in the past, and that is a lo sisa. And what's lo yachel? That's konamos. That's neder. Klomar, lo yachel, demashma labo. Lav la azhara shavuos labo, also, the shavuos labo is from lo sishbu b'shmila shaker. So what's lo yachel? That's from the Nedarim. That is in contradistinction to Rabin, the omar azhara shavuos labo, also milo yachel. Okay, so according to Rav Dimi, you've got it like this. Lo Yachel apparently has nothing to do with Nedarim, with Shavuos at all. Right? Sheker is on the future, and Shav is on the past. And apparently Shav would also be Shav, what we call Shav. Okay.
Ravin's reverse.
It's not again. Then on Chof Aleph, the Gemara comes to Ravin. Yeah. They're both arguing in the name of Rav Yochanan. Right, mm-hmm. It's funny Gemara because this is Ravin, Omer Rabbi Yirmiyo, Omer Rabbi Avohu, Omer Rabbi Yochanan.
A lot of people, yeah.
Right, and then later on, the Gemara has Rabbi Yirmiyo asking Akasha on Rabbi Avohu. So, I don't know. Anyway, so it's like this: Ochalti velo ochalti sheker. So that's what we're more familiar with thinking about. That in the past, we call that sheker. Right? Things about the past, we call that sheker. Yeah. Because when you say it, it's a lie. Right? Like Rashi says on Chavot. Right? He says, Lo yachel is lo seshakru b'sho'o shetishbu lo teitzei la sheker. Right? It's a sheker when you say it. A chavav, no. And that's lo sishbu b'shmi la sheker. Ochel v'lo ochel is over below yachel devaro. Right? And if you say you will eat or you won't eat, that's lo yachel. Right? That's lo yachel, like Rashi says over here too. Because lo yachel is lo mashmelo v'davar she'efshelo l'kayim shu'oso v'haynu l'haba. So that's the machlokas between Rabin, between Rav Dimi, right? And Rabin, in the name of Yochanan.
So he says ochel and lo ochel is not a shu'osho, Rabin. Rabin does not say shvusha.
Right, so Rabin says the future is lo yachel. The past is sheker. And what's shav? Shav, good question. Ve'ezu hishua shav. That's nishba l'shanu s'yadua. Lo adam. So that's like our shita, basically. That's the shita that we're comfortable with. Right. The only problem is, the Kesef Mishnah mentions, that the Rambam says all four of them are sheker. Right? So he said, Ram is not going like anybody. Right? So that's what he wants to say. He wants to say, no, the Rambam is learning. He means it's also lo yachel in the future. But they're all sheker. And so Ram doesn't mention lo yachel because there's no reason to double count. But then it would come out that, yeah. So I saw the Minchas Chinuch in his own inimitable way mentions a nafkamina would be that if you're a mummer for an iser and you do it b'shogig, you're not chayav a carbon. That's what he holds. If you're a mummer for an iser, let's say you don't care about eating chaylev. You eat chaylev all the time. B'mezim. So if you ate it b'shogig, you wouldn't be chayav a carbon. Right? So he says, so let's say a guy is accustomed to making shruos in the future and violating them, and then he accidentally makes a shua on the bas and violates it. So if it's the same lav, according to the Rambam, he'd be potter from a carbon, because it's the same iser. But if you hold that they're separate lavin, then you'd be potter. I mean, then you'd be chayev. I was just looking at the Meiri on Chaf on the base. So he goes through, he basically takes the sheets to Rambam. That on all of the Shavuos Bitoy, the Azhara is Lo Sishbu B'Shmi LaShoker. Okay. And Yochai Malkus on the Zadon and Karbon on the Shogeg. And Lo Yachel, he said, even though he says, and the Darim are Lo Yachel. V'yafo pi Shelo Yachel Bo Gam Kein L'Shvua. Right? I mean, the Rambam says, no, he doesn't say it. Yeah, the haksiv ki yidur o hishova. I mean, it's right in the pasuk. That's the problem. I mean, how could you take shua out of lo yachel? It's right in the pasuk. So even though it says in the pasuk of lo yachel ki yidur and o hishova, and it says lo yachel devaro, mikom makom shivua mi lo sishbu nafka. You really learn it from the Azhara is Lo Sishbu. It's from Lo Sishbu B'Shmi LaShoker. V'lo Ba Ratzal Lomar Yachel Ela L'Ingi Nedarim. Amazing Amiri. Shezidonam B'Malkus Mikoch Lo Yachel V'Shigigasam B'Lo Klum. V'Chein B'Arnu Sheshvuas Shav. Yeah, and then he goes to Shav. So he takes like the Rambam. That Sheker is is on Olam. So what about the fact that no one says it over here? He says, Ze shekosavnu shashavua ein bo lav de bal yachel, hu das ravdimi besugizu. He says, V'yavu bishen alocha kemoso, de'ochalti v'lo'ochalti, sheladaito azharoso milo sisa. Even though we don't hold like him, because he says, on ochalti v'lo'ochalti, that is... Lo sisa is? That's shav. No, sheker, he says, is on the future. Right? Yes, shav is on the past, and lo yachal is on the darm. That's redeemi. No, he's more. He's not. His shav is all the past. Everything in the past is a shav.
Who is sheker on the past?
Sheker in the past, that's Rabbi Avo. Or Rabin, whatever you want to call. So he says, even though we don't hold like him, because according to him, in the past is, and we said that it's really from lo sishbu mikom makom liyim mash omar konomos b'val yachel chomer of a lo shavu halacha kamoso v'lo kirabin shomar shach b'shvua kol lo ochel v'she ochel b'val yachel. So it's not like Rabin, who says lo yachel goes on shvua too. V'yafal pisha halacha kamoso, even though we do hold like Rabin, b'mash omar ochalti v'lo ochalti sheker. Who would that be? That is the Kesef Mishnah and the Rivash. One say that's the Rambam, right? What about on Chavav Aman Aleph, right? Where it says that Rabbi Shmuel says Lo Yachel. The pasuk is more like is Lo Yachel. That's why it goes in the future, right, and not on the past. So he says Kvar Biyarnu Shehamezed B'Shuas Bitoi. One second. He says like this. Kvar bi'arnu she'az haros shuas bitoi bein la'ba bein l'sha'avar milo sishbu b'shmi la'shoker. V'zeh she'amru kan b'shel la'avar she'ein yisuro mishum lo yachel el mishum lo sishakaru ein o nemar el l'bior inyan. So even though when it comes to Rabbi Shmuel, it says, well, the past is sheker and the future is lo yachel. That's just a beer inyan. Klomar. Ein isuro toloi bechilul ha'osid lovo shehu b'mashmo'os lo yachel. Shemeacha shehu mazhiro shlo yachel mashma shadayin hu biyodo im l'chal im l'kayim ele mishum lo seshakru shemashmo'uso shebishah shvua hotzi sheker mipiv. So I don't know what's So I mean, it's not exactly right to say that never does it apply lo yachel to Shavua, when every time it does, you say it doesn't mean it. he's taking Rav Dimi and Rabin's Sheker. He's combining them. We'll hold like each one on what they say Sheker applies to. So Rav Dimi said Sheker was for the future, and Rabin said Sheker's on the past. So we'll say Sheker on both. Now who said, and then we'll stick with Rabin for Shav, and with Rav Dimi for Lo Yachel. Right? Yeah. That's how it comes out. Neder.
How are you allowed to do
that? I mean, one question is how are you allowed to do it? The question is who is doing that? That's the Meiri. So he wants to say, you never see in the Gemara it say Lo Yachel by Yeshua. I mean by Yeshua. What about our case in the Dharm? Nechahu l'chefti shemayim. And that's specifically talking about Shavuot. Anyway, I've come to try to clarify, not to try to confuse things. But let's see. So here's what I want to do. I want to try to... I think what we said earlier this week was not correct, but about the carbon issue. So we'll have to fix that up. But anyway, but in terms of this question, in terms of the question that we're dealing with yesterday, okay, namely the machlokasin about Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva, right? Whether it's dafka lehaba or even l'sha'avar, okay, this is within the pasuk of lehoro leitiv, right? Which lav it'll fall out for Rabbi? Where does the past fall out for Rabbi Yishmael? Okay, so let me try to explain. Let me see if I can give a little bit of a framework to this topic, because as you can see, it's just, if you just follow these drushos, it's very confusing. It doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to what's going on. I think what we have to do at this point is just kind of take our old approach to things. Let's just forget about the complications for a minute, and let's just think about the topic itself in a logical fashion, and see what kind of ideas intrinsically relate to this topic, with the assumption that the Torah is not imposing arbitrary rules, but is giving an order to certain ideas that that have an existence already, and defining the consequences of them, and truthfully, that's the way the machlokasim will work out. Should break down along natural lines of ideas relating to these to this topic. And I think that's why the chinuch starts out over there in the mitzvah of Lamed, going through a very general idea of what shav sheker, the idea of the shem Hashem of a shua, and trying to show you some kind of reality to the way you regard and treat the shem Hashem. And the mitzvah of shvua is going to codify some idea of kavod and yira regarding the way man engages the Shem Hashem. Okay. So let's start out with the question like this. What is the basic topic that we're in? What's the subject matter that we're dealing with over here? Right? There's two ways to look at that. What do you say? So let's, for instance, we all agree. Let's start somewhere that we can all agree. We all agree. Well, pretty much everybody would agree that if a person makes a shvua that a cat is a dog, right? That does not come under shvua sheker. I mean, we can't satisfy all people at all times. Okay, so we'll just stick with our basic framework of looking at things. Okay. Assuming shav is not related to the past. Let's forget about Rodimi, okay? let's stick with our general approach over here, that shav is relating to on the Yadua and the Meforsam. So, isn't that strange? If I would tell you there's an issur to lie, right? There's an issur to lie with the Shem Hashem. But yet you're not violating that when you say a cat is a dog. Now, isn't that a lie? So what's the answer to that question?
No.
It definitely... Well, then the answer to the question is, what do you mean by saying a lie? Right? Okay. So what are the two possibilities over here? I mean, there is, in one way, that is a lie. I don't see... If you're going to define a lie by speaking a non-truth, That is a non-truth. Right? Did the person tell the truth? That's, by the way, what I meant. There's two ways to look at Shua. You can look at Shua in the realm of truth, or you can look at Shua in the realm of falsehood. Right? Because the whole realm of Shua is revolving around being truthful as a kiyum of the Shua and lying as a violation of the Shua. Okay? So emes and sheker are intrinsically that's the subject matter that we have to think into in terms of the dinim of Shua. So, one second. So if I would tell you true or false, a cat is a dog, you would have to say false, right? So if I would swear that a cat is a dog, I mean, you should say in Dover Shek Godel Mizu. But we don't. We say that's shove. So what is lacking? So why is it not sheker? Why is it not a shua sheker? What do we mean by shua? Shua sheker, therefore, does not mean to utter a falsehood. What does it mean then? Okay. In other words, so it comes out like this. When you say, when we talk about sheker in terms of shua, it's not measuring it objectively. In other words, does the statement line up with the truth? That's not the measure of emes and sheker in shua. It's a question of whether you are being deceptive or not, right? You're in real estate now. So it's a question of whether you're being deceptive or not. A broker, no, isn't that, you can't be deceptive. That's the rule, right? You can't be deceptive. But if you came into the show the guy a house, you said this is a mansion and it's a dump. I mean, that wouldn't be deceptive. Anyone knows.
You can that's show just, him a dump first, and then
that's just puffery, they call it. Anyway, so no, it's funny. Even in law, you know, you're not allowed to have false advertising, but it has to be something that is deceptive. If you just say this is the greatest. You know what I mean? Everybody knows you don't, you know, there's no way to measure something like that. So there's a certain amount of deceptiveness is that we're looking for. A certain function of the neder, of the shua. Like the Rambam says, lahatzdik es ha-davar, right? To be matzdik es ha-davar. You want to try to convince or establish a certain fact. So that's only in the realm of the eino yadua. Okay. So that's a good first step. So therefore, in that sense, in the sense of influencing other people, like you're saying, in that realm of using the Shvua as a way to convince others of something, therefore we can see that if you'll say X is Y, right, or 3 is 2, that's not an Isser of Shvua Sheker. Right? Because there's no deception there. Everyone can see right through it. So then it comes out, it's just shove. It had nothing. It was zero. Correct? Okay, good. Now Rabbi Akiva apparently holds all of the Rabbi Akiva holds that sheker, that idea of sheker, is part of the pasuk of Lahara Lehitiv. Okay. But what the question though is on Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, why is Rabbi Yishmael? Now I'm working with a certain assumption. My assumption is if there's a chi of carbon, then it's a worse iser than if there's no chi of carbon. That's my assumption. In other words, my assumption is that if there is a sheker, if there are two kinds of lies, right, and two types of deception, let's say, and one of them is chayav a carbon, one of them is not, there has to be a qualitative difference between the two. Let's at least say that. Okay? There has to be a qualitative difference between the two in the framework of deception. In the framework that we're talking about, of lying. Okay? Now, you can reserve judgment which one you think, if you think I'm right, that a carbon means is worse. But at least we have to try to think of conceptually a way of differentiating a lie vis-a-vis the past and a lie vis-a-vis the future. Because Rabbi Yishmael holds Lahoro Lehetiv is dafka on Lehabo and not on the past. Okay, so therefore he has to be saying that there is conceptually a distinction between the two forms of deception.
You bring a korban for lava?
According to Rabbi Shmuel, only for the haba, right?
Well, in terms of this,
lo yachel devaro, right? That's what he differentiates. Lo yachel devaro. If you take chavav, he says it's only on the future. Lo yachel devaro. What is Rashi again over there? He says that's mashma. Lo mashma l'davar she'efshlo l'kayim shu'aso v'hainu haba. He doesn't say that much. And l'sheker is says b'sha'a she'tishbu lo teitzei l'sheker. Yeah, anyway, so what do you say? So I was thinking like this.
I mean, or you could say it's just...
My question is like this. Is there a greater... Can you say there's a greater deviation from a commitment to the truth... is there in either lying about the past or lying about the future? Philosophical, of course. To the degree that truth and falsehood are philosophical questions, yeah. Or commitment. Not a philosophical question, there are philosophical premises. But I think once you have certain premises, you should be able to explain why one partakes of an idea more than the other.
Well, what is a korban doing?
In other words, what's the difference? What's confusing about this topic also a little bit is that there are certain things that have a correlation. And it's not always clear what is exactly the issue that we're focusing on. So for instance, when I talk about a shvua on the future, right, it's by definition limited to what?
No, what in your commitment.
What's that?
What in your address.
Exactly. It's by definition limited to what I can do. So it's going to be about me. It's always going to be about me. Like Ariel saying, it's going to be a commitment that I'm taking. Right? As opposed to a shvua on the past is not limited to me, right? It could be about anybody. It has nothing to do with an idea of committing to something, right? And it is more focused on, like you were saying before, convincing others. A shvua on the future is not really essentially focused on others. The subject matter is not, or the object of the shvua is not others, it's the self. I will or I won't. It's a restriction. It's laying down a certain behavior for the self. You're defining the self. As opposed to a shvua in the past, is you are trying to convince or deceive another. Okay? So, it's not so much, my question is not so much future or past, but what future demands and what past is, what future and past are expressing. So, could you say a person's deviation from MS is greater when he takes a personal commitment and violates it? Or when he tries to deceive somebody on something that happened in the past? Was that a nonsensical question? Yeah. Okay, so the question is about, is he trying to deceive by the shogeg? And that's what I think I made a mistake about in this week, so we have to correct it. If you take a look in the halachos about when a person is chayav a karbon for shogeg in Shavua, it's very complicated. Okay. And basically, on the past, the way we hold, is only when he knows it's a wrong, he knows it's an isser, but he doesn't know there's a carbon. Now, is that circular? Sounds circular to me. But I don't know how to get out of that circle. But that's the halacha. Because if he knew it and he was trying to deceive, then he's amazed, right? If he forgot that he had eaten and he said he ate, then he's considered an onus. Okay? Because you can't say, no, as it comes down to a question of how do you lie, what does it mean to lie accidentally? Lying is a crime of intent, right? So what does it mean to lie accidentally? If I forgot the fact and I thought it was true, there's no quality of lying at all in what I'm saying. It's not like I'm lying, but accidentally. Lying is trying to deceive. I'm not trying to deceive. So then the Gemara calls him an honest. Right? And if he knows he did it, and if he knows it, and he's trying to deceive, then he's amazed. So that's the Ram goes through. He says, how is it possible to have a shel gvuach chayav karban? So he says, the only way is, he knows it's a law. He knows it's an isser, but he doesn't know there's a chayav karban. It's bizarre, right? That's on the past. In the future, you can work it out a little differently, but it's not much better. In the future, it would be, you take a look at the, you want to take a look at the Ramzar and Perek Gimel, I believe. In the future, it would be, he takes a shvua not to eat an apple, and then he makes a mistake, and he thought he took a shvua to eat an apple. It has to be a shogeg in the shvuah. That's what they're trying to work out.
It can't be the evil guy who made a shvuah.
Then he's an anus. Then they call him an anus again.
Well, that's violating an apple.
Well, according to the Ram, it's sheker. It's violating sheker. So my proposal is like this: that if a person is talking about the past, so that Rabbi Shmuel calls sheker, lo sishbu b'shmi la shoker. And if he violates, and if he makes a shvuah on the future, then he calls that lo yachel devaro, right? And he wants to say, it sounds like he's learning, lo yachel, the only time you can be chayav karban, lo horo lehetiv, is like lo yachel. Okay. Yes, yeah, so what's the difference between the two? In other words, that's a good way to put it. In other words, no, yeah, it's true. Nisan is right. I mean, a guy could be lying about what he'll do in order to get something out of somebody. Like, I owe you $1,000 today. I'll take a shvuah that I'll get it tomorrow because I don't want you to foreclose on my house, whatever it is. That's true. That's true. That's a shvuah about the future. But the subject matter of the shvuah is different. The subject matter of the past, or let's say the kavana of the objective or the tikkun, right? What the shvuah is actually doing in terms of like its own action on the past is to others, your perception of reality. I want to alter your perception of reality. But a shvuah on the future about myself is I am making a statement about my own perception of reality. So in that sense, I want to say that Rabbi Shmuel says the only time Yechayev a Karbon is when it partakes of the highest distortion of truth, and that's only on the person's own perception of reality. Trying to alter someone else's perception of reality is true, that's a falsehood, but that is not a statement about the value of truth itself. Could be he has some kind of a a motive over there for his perception to be a certain way. But about himself, that's just his truthfulness as a person. And what I'm trying to say is, if it's for somebody else, if I'm telling you about the past, then the whole objective is your perception. Okay, if I'm not as concerned about your perception of truth as my perception of truth, that's true. It's a sheker, but it's not to the fullest degree of truthfulness itself, because, like I'm saying before, there is some gain I'm trying to get out of you, and that compromises my commitment, but doesn't demonstrate that I have no commitment to truth. All right, that was a little too philosophical for you. But now let's just do one more point. So now the question, though, is what is the question of whether I can make a shvuah on the lav and the hain, or the past and the future, right? In other words, this is all one question. This is one track of thought. This is one train of thought. When are you chayav a karbon? So what we tried to show is that there are certain levels of violating a demonstrable commitment to MS. And our argument over here is, for Rabbi Yishmael, that the Shvua, for Rabbi Akiva, it's once you're in the realm of deception. That's all you need to be Chayav Karban. For Rabbi Yishmael, it has to be a paradigm where it's Dafka L'Habah. And by the way, that's the Klal U'Prat. Nefesh Kisi Shova, really you're Chayav for breaking the Shvua. But the Prat is telling you only Chayav a Karban on a Shvua when it partakes of this quality of the Prat. When it demonstrates the fullest idea of Sheker. Okay. But the question of Lav and Hain and reversing from the past and the future, I think that's a different question. Let's think about Lav and Hain for a minute. The question for Lav and Hain, what are the cases of Lav and Hain? You have mitzvah is the classic case, right? Mitzvah would be the classic case. And then I guess most other things you're going to have the same lav and hain. We only had one other case, right? Yeah, the case of the table being gold. Well, that was in the future. That was past future. Yeah. Are there any other things that are excluded because they're not the lav and hain? Anyway, let's stick with mitzvah. So the case is like this. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, it's true I can't make a shvuah to be mevatel a mitzvah, but I can make a shvuah to do a mitzvah. Why not? In other words, the only question is whether I'm committing myself to something. So what's the difference if I could have made another commitment? Why should that affect the question of whether I can make this commitment? You say, no, you can't make a commitment to do this because you couldn't make a commitment not to do it. Who cares? Is the commitment to do it a commitment? Yes, so why shouldn't that be a shvuah? Right? And the Rabban say, no, you can't commit to do a mitzvah. Why? Because you couldn't commit to not do a mitzvah. Why is that a reason to not commit to do a mitzvah? Right? Yeah. So what's the difference? What's the difference? What's the machlok? What's the question? So the question is like this. What's the realm of the statement of the shvuah? The shvuah is creating a certain statement. It is a certain statement of commitment or definition. Right? You're establishing a certain truth, a certain reality. Correct? Let's say that for a minute. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is simple. It's simply establishing a reality or a truth or a commitment about an action. That's all it is. Right? So if we look at every action as a separate chefza, as a separate entity, so what's the difference? Well, it doesn't make any sense to say I can't commit to action X because I can't commit to the opposite action. Who cares? Does that make X not an action? No. Doing a mitzvah is still an action. Why can't I commit to that? Because I couldn't commit to not doing a mitzvah? Who cares, right? So what do the Rabbanim say? They say that the realm of Shvuah is not establishing a fact or a truth about an action, but about what? Yeah, about a subject. In other words, my relationship, and we're going to have to morph it a little bit, but the Shvuah is not so much a din about a particular action, but about a topic. In other words, you can define the topic of mitzvah. I can define the topic of achilas kikar to me. Achilas kikar to me, let's say, is undefined. It's in the realm of rishus. It has no specific nature vis-a-vis me. Right? We know that everything in the world is broken up into three categories. Right? The necessary, the impossible, and the possible. can't find anything that's not one of those. Certain things have to be, certain things can't be, and certain things can be. Okay, so in the realm of, so the realm of Shavua is saying this idea of eating a kikar to me simply resides in the realm of the possible. Shavua says I have a right to define it. I have a right to establish an objective reality about that topic. Me eating kikar. I will put it into the category of din and remove it from the possible into the necessary or the impossible. That's the subject, that's the function of Shua. You understand? That's what the Rabbanim say. And therefore they say, come to mitzvah and I'll tell you, since you can't make a Shua not to do a mitzvah, right? That means it doesn't reside in the realm of the possible. Therefore, it's simply not a subject matter of Shua. You can't define the topic from your Shua. And that's the din of Shua. The din of Shua is, you can write a new Shulchan Aruch about a subject. It would be Hilchos Achilas Kikar. Ah, now it says, I can't eat a kikar. Okay. But could you write a new Hilchos Asiyas Mitzvah? No. It's not subject to a new definition. It's not a topic that's open to definition. You understand? There's no freedom in the topic. So therefore, Shvua can't convert it. But that's going to be the question over there. Lahoro Lehetev, according to Rabbi Yehuda Mezeira, is just defining the types of actions that we're talking about. And there's no rational reason to say, because I can't do one action, I shouldn't be able to do another action that is related to it. But if you're going to learn Lahora Olehetiv, means I can come in and define a topic. I can come in and make a statement about a topic. That's the function of Shua. Then it can't be something that has one that already is excluded from one of those definitions. That means by definition it has to be in the positive. If I can't not do it, then I already know how I relate to it. Then the topic is already defined vis-a-vis me. What's the realm of Shua? You know, see, I'm just going one level back behind the Maisa into the topic. Now that's everybody agrees with on the Rabbanan side. Right? Question will take Rav and Shmuel. Question with Rav and Shmuel is, what about the past and the future? That's a machlokas. Assuming we agree that Lohara Lehetiv is a din of Shvua on the subject, on the topic, what about if I say to you, what if I make a Shvua that you threw a rock in the ocean yesterday? So Rav says, what's the problem? What's the problem of a Lahore? There's no problem of a Lahore Lehetiv over there, right? I can define that topic. The topic of you throwing rocks in the ocean yesterday. That topic is fully defined now. It was in the realm of an unknown, possible. Anything could have happened. Now I clarified it. I defined it. Shmuel says no. That although Rabbi Akiva holds a shvua on the past is good, that's only what can also be made l'haba. And apparently he derives it as an extension from l'hara l'hetiv. Right? And since I can't say you will throw a rock in the ocean tomorrow, I can't talk about you having thrown a rock in the ocean yesterday. But what is that, my focus? What is that further question? It's hard to define it, but apparently Shmuel goes one level deeper. And he says, not just the particular topic, but the whole subject has to be open to definition. And you vis-a-vis the throwing of rocks has to be something that I can talk about. I don't know what kind of idea exactly it is, but just trying to logically differentiate. I can say there's a topic, and then there's a greater subject. There's an action, there's a topic, and there's a greater subject. And for some reason, Shmuel holds, unless the entire relationship of you and vis-a-vis the throwing of a rock is open to my definition of shua, it's not subject to any shua. That's not a subject that shua relates to. Shua has to be able to, in order to be subject to shua, the entirety of the subject has to be within the reach of the shua's statement of emes and sheker. I can't talk about the truth unless I can talk about the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's interesting. This is not a subject for you to define if there's an intrinsic limitation on what you can say. But the point that I'm trying to get at is it has to do with the idea that Shua is expressing a truth. And Shmuel is saying if it's limited in its expression of truth, it's not the subject of Shua. Partial truth is not the subject of Shua. If I can't define the entire subject, then it's not something that Shua relates to. Whereas Rav holds, all you see is a specific topic. I can limit the topic, but by definition, the topic has to come down to a choice. Otherwise, there's nothing to say. It's more like in the action of the Shua. The Shua has to establish something, according to Rav. Some truth about a subject. Therefore, it has to be an efshar that it could relate to. Right? Otherwise, it's not expressing a truth. See, according to Rav Yehuda ben Basera, this is what I'm trying to get down to, is versus the Rabbanon, if you try, oopsie, sticking in the realm of Shvua has to do with MS. No, it's Rav Yehuda ben Basera is saying it has to do purely with the personal commitment. That's all you need. Whereas Rav and Shmuel with the Rabbanon are saying, no, it has to do with defining an actual truth. But defining an actual truth demands some unknown that it's positing. Right? Some unknown that it's talking about. So without the possibilities, right? There's nothing to talk. There's no unknown to remove. No, it's a statement of truth. It's not a commitment, according to Rabbanan. And then Rav and Shmuel are arguing about the extent of the truth that it has to establish in order to be in the realm of Shua. Okay?
Yeah.